The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the program. It is great to be back here with you on The Shepherd Afternoons with Mike, heard across the Shepherd Radio Network. Today in the studio with me, I have Rick Tirado. Rick is representing a company now that he's a part of. It's called the Corporate Chaplains of America. If that's familiar, it's because we had another one of their people who I understand is your boss, Rick.
Yes.
And that would be Richard Buckley. And he was with us, kind of giving us a little bit about this group as well. So nice to have you with us, Rick Tirado.
Thank you, Mike, for the invitation.
It's really great to have you. Now, I understand that at one point in time, you were a pastor here in Orlando.
Yes, I did. I was pastoring called New Covenant Church at one time in the Taft community in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. South Orlando.
South Orlando.
Yeah. And you also were a part of PBA.
I was. PBA was very dear to my heart. I am an alumni from PBA.
Oh, yes, that's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you studied there, what was your major?
Pastoral and ministry.
Oh, that's great. Well, you're putting all of that into good work now.
Absolutely. Caring for people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, tell me a little bit about yourself, Rick. Where did you come from and how did you get to be a believer?
Mm, very good. I was born in Chicago, Illinois. So I'm a Chicago native, Illinois. And I came to the Lord, and I remember the exact date. It was July 16th, 1969. I was 10 years old. And Mike, there was a woman named Carmen Montalvo that she was passing through. She was ministering in the area, passing out tracts. So it happened that me and my mom and my four sisters were in the park having a Saturday afternoon, just taking, you know, just passing time there, having a little picnic, when all of a sudden this lady came, showed up, and she just started speaking to my mom at a point in time when our family was terribly broken.
Mm.
My father was an alcoholic at that time. My mother was about to ready to walk out on the family, and the Lord Jesus showed up through Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
They started a conversation. They found out that they were from the same city and town in Puerto Rico. She was a Puerto Rican as well. My parents are from Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And they began the conversation there. You know, when you find out that there's a connection there, that so they kept on going, like they knew each other for years. But it was all meant to be. That moment, Carmen says, you know, I want to invite you to bring your family. Because my mom just opened up and she started pouring out what was going on. She says, you know, there's someone that really loves you and cares for you. His name is Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you love to hear more about him? He says, yeah, I definitely need to hear more about him. She says, well, I invite you tomorrow Sunday to church. Come join us. I'll be waiting for you there. The church was that it was on Spalding and Division. There was a big, it used to be a Jewish church synagogue, but it was converted into a Spanish church, a Church of God church.
Mm-hmm.
And so they extended the invitation. My mom, that Sunday morning, got us all up.
Oh, you
out of
went,
bed.
You went too?
Yes, everybody. My four sisters, myself, my mom, and even my dad that had come drunk all night.
Oh, wow.
No matter what the hangover was, my mom says, everyone is going to church today. We need God.
And they all went.
And we all went.
Yeah.
And we all went. We walked into that place, Mike. It was an experience I'll never forget. It was the first time I had never heard worship music the way it was being sung. We were prior for that. We were Catholics, and we would attend church every Sunday, like custom traditionally. But it was that experience there was very different. We walked in. We felt the joy. We felt the celebration, the word of God being spoken in a way that I had never heard it being spoken mm-hmm. before. And at 10 years old, I heard the verse that says, if the pastor saying, if anyone is hurting right now, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And all I heard was, come, come, come to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the altar call was made, Mike, I rose up from my seat and I ran to the altar. Don't know what possessed me, what took me on, but I didn't wait. I didn't wait for mom. I didn't wait for dad. And I went to the altar because he was inviting me. I saw people going to the altar. So I said, you know what? I want what they want. So I went to the altar And guess who followed right behind me? My father.
Oh,
my father saw me running to the altar. He says, if it's good for my son, it's got to be good for me.
Wow.
That day he received Christ.
Mm.
And the Lord Jesus went with us home that day.
Mm.
My mom didn't accept the Lord that day. She accepted the Lord a few months later because she wanted to see if my dad was just putting up another.
Yeah.
Just acting it out, or was he serious about this encounter they were saying he had with the Lord? And yes, he did have an encounter with the Lord. He stopped. He went when he got home, he dumped all the liquor down the sink.
Ah.
Usually weekends we had all family members show up, friends to show up, because there was always booze at the house. So everyone had to show up on the weekends at the Toronto's because they knew there was going to be a party going on there. Well, guess what? People start when they saw that my father wasn't drinking no more, they stopped coming to the house.
Mm-hmm.
But in its place of that, I met a whole new family, Christian brothers and sisters that started coming to my house, sitting with my parents, sharing the word of God, discipling them. And today I am here because of that.
Now, you brought up the fact that mm-hmm. your mom did not, she was not one that did go forward to mm-hmm. receive the Lord. Mm-hmm. And even though she was the one
yes.
that had actually pushed everyone to go, but maybe seeing your dad yes. respond might have given her a moment like, well, wait a minute now. I'm going to check this out
yes.
a little bit.
Yes.
And she did, and he did, and yeah. then she did.
And then she did, yes.
That's
yes.
right.
And she did. She accepted Christ. Wow. And let me tell you, Mike, the greatest, my parents are with the Lord right now. My mom and dad, they passed away. And actually, when they did pass away, I was pastoring at that time, so I did the funerals for mm-hmm. both of them. They both passed away and 60 years old and very young. But my mom passed when she was in 1996, and my dad passed in 1997. And at that time,
very
I was pastoring. Very close to each other. The Lord took them home. But I had the privilege as their son to do the funeral for them as being their pastor as yeah. well. But they left with me such a legacy of what it was to pray, what it was to have communion with God, what it was to read the word of God. My dad would read the word. I saw my dad. He would work nights. And when he would get home from work, I would see him on his knees with the scriptures open, reading from Genesis to Revelations. He would, as far as I know he read the Bible at least three times that I know of from cover to cover.
Wow.
Well, that instilled in me such a hunger, such a love for the word of God at a young age. Also, my mom, a woman of prayer on her knees. My mom would pray so much, Mike, you won't believe it. She had sores on her knees. I saw those sores. I witnessed those sores. But I witnessed her at 3 a.m. just crying out for Jesus, for her family, for my sisters, for me. And wow, what can I say? I'm a blessed young man, a blessed man today, which today I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. And what I learned from them, I've instilled it in my children, and now they're instilling it on their children.
Besides the change in mm-hmm. not partying on the weekends, not drinking, mm-hmm. what other changes did you see immediately in your dad?
Oh, I saw him a servant. He wanted to serve, so he saw him serving at church, no matter what it was, cleaning up the toilets or picking up paper or just whatever the pastor needed. He wanted it to serve, mm-hmm. and he served with joy. Because I always say, you know, that's it. You're going to serve with joy. And so he served with joy. He hungered for the word of God. He was a servant at heart. If he had to drive the bus, he would drive the bus. At no time, he would drive the bus to pick up the people at the church, to bring them to the church and the weeks and stuff. And he would do that. To this dying breath, he served the Lord with that life.
That is such a wonderful story. And yes. it goes to show that a walk to the front, to mm-hmm. the altar at a church service yes. can bring about as radical as you can get in yes. terms of a change of a life. And mm-hmm. that's what happened to your dad.
Amen. Amen. That's what happened to my dad.
Yeah. So you see this and you're growing up now in a different way, mm-hmm. really. And some people would say it's almost like you had different parents. Yeah, they're
yes.
the same people,
yes,
but they are completely yes. different. Yes. They are new yeah. creations yeah. for sure.
I heard one preacher says, when I went before my home, it was a hell. Now it's a heaven.
Oh, that's good.
And home became a heaven.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
From all the fighting, all the arguing, all the bickering, it became a peaceful heaven. It wasn't perfect. We had the difficulties. My dad still was not perfect. My mom was not perfect. But what changed was the atmosphere, the aroma of knowing that Jesus was in the home.
I just would love to have had an opportunity to ask your mom,
yeah,
what was it like to see her husband change right in front of her very eyes?
Well, it was, I don't know how I can say, while we've been getting emotional, because it was such a powerful impact. You know, you hear stories and you hear, but when you witness a change like that, a transformation, it has to be the Lord. It has to be the Holy Spirit. It can't be nothing else, you know, no manipulation. It was just God. It was just them allowing God just do the change in their lives. And that's what happened.
Wow. And so here you are, not only now destined to be a believer, but now you're serving in ministry. Yes. You've been a pastor. Yes. You're working for an organization that is very pastoral.
Mm-hmm.
And it, in fact, you are doing something with Corporate Chaplains of America that in some ways is groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. And some people would say, how can this work? How does it work? And we'll get more into that in a little bit. But you went on and you served, as we mentioned, in ministry for a number of years.
Yes.
And then you...
For at least 23 years I pastored. I started pastoring in Chicago. When I was 32 years old is when I started pastoring with the Assemblies of God Church in Melrose Park, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And we started the church there, a community gospel church, and we pastored there. Until in 99 is when I moved to Florida.
What brought you down here?
And what brought me to Florida was, after 40 years, I had my, my parents had passed, and the only parent alive on my wife's side was her mother. And she was, you know, up in age, and she was kind of delicate in health. And, we talked about it at the, how what would it look like if we would have our kids be closer to grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived in Tampa. And so we, on a trip that I came on a convention in 99, I also met a friend, a pastor friend, which is Pastor Abner, which is from Viva Church. And we connected then more intimately. And he offered me, if I would come down to Florida, he would want to offer me to start an English service in his church, because he had a school. The church was predominantly Hispanic, but the school brought a lot of parents. The account brought a lot of parents that were English speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, we would love to go to your church, but you only speak Spanish. If you break it down and have English and Spanish or bilingual or something, then we would join.
Now, obviously, you speak both.
And I speak both.
Yeah.
So he says, so that's what I was actually doing in Melrose Park. I was having bilingual services because I would preach either in English or Spanish and always have a translator, or I would do it by myself and do it both languages, as that the Lord has blessed me to be able to speak fluently in both languages.
Yeah, so I'm just convinced that to do that, you've got to have two brains up there. That must be what's going on.
Right.
I just can't imagine. Now, I do speak a little bit, and when I say little, I mean a little bit of German, because I studied German for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time I could hear more and do more, and I've read actually better than I could speak, but the people like you and who are so fluent in both, and then there are people that are like five or six languages. Right. I just don't get it.
Yeah, people get amazed with me when they hear me speak Spanish, because they think, since I was born in Chicago, raised in Chicago, that I would pretty much just speak the English, even though I'm a Puerto Rican heritage from my parents.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the fact is that while being in church, in a Spanish church, I was always practicing the Spanish, reading from the Spanish Bible. So that allowed me to continue, though I was getting the English in school, but I was also practicing the Spanish. So I got both languages simultaneously going on.
That's right. Well, you don't sound like the typical Chicagoan. Let me just put it that way. I've been to Chicago many times, and they don't sound like that. There's more up there. It's more of a Milwaukee, a Wisconsin type of accent that you'll hear. Not somebody that sounds like my man, Rick Torado, who's here with me. Oh, this is great. And, have you gone back to the Puerto Rico at any time recently?
Yes, I was just there, as a matter of fact, 2 months ago.
Do you have any family remaining there?
Well, I have cousins, but I also, my son-in-law, he bought a house in a town called Barceloneta, which is on the west coast of Puerto Rico by Arecibo. And it's a beautiful town, and he has a house there. So when we go, we pretty much vacation there at the house by the beach there, and very time a good time of relaxation.
Oh, that's there. Great. Oh, my goodness.
And enjoying the food.
So, a pastor, this idea of leaving the pastorate and joining up with this organization called Corporate Chaplains of America, how did that happen?
So what happened was that there was a time in when I was finishing school that I was also in a moment of sabbatical. I was on a time of rest with my wife, and we had gone to Chicago. We met up with a good close friend of ours. They were pastors as well. But I found out that he was not pastoring. And I said, well, what are you doing now? He says, well, now I'm working with Corporate Chaplains of America. That pretty much woke up something in me. I said, well, tell me more about that. I need to know. So he shared with me what Corporate Chaplains does, just like there's a chaplain for hospitals, for the police department, for the army,
sports teams.
Mm-hmm. They have chaplains. There's also chaplains for corporations that business owners, for the most part, want to provide that for their employees, for themselves, and also for their employees, to have a chaplain on board that will serve the employees and the staff. And so care for them. And so I said, what a novel idea. I says, I need to find out. He says, well, here's the website. Look at the website. So I went to corporatechaplains.org, found the website, heard some of the testimonies from different business owners, was very intrigued. I says, I need to file. And said, if you're interested, file an application. So I signed up the application, sent it in, submitted it in. They told me they didn't have nothing opening at that time in Florida, because that was where I'm living at. They had for South Carolina, North Carolina. I says, well, don't really want to move right now, but he says, we'll keep your application. If something comes up, we will contact you. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, West Palm Beach opened up, and I was at West Palm Beach for the past 6 years.
Wow. And now you've recently, rather recently, moved from West Palm Beach to Orlando.
Yes. So the chaplains that was serving here, it was no longer with Corporate Chaplains for personal reasons. And so they needed a bilingual chaplain here in Central Florida. So happens that this is where I lived before, and very familiar with the location and everybody around here. So my kids are here. My grandkids are here. So it was just a perfect fit for me to come back to Central Florida. So here I am again.
Wow. And the journey now is back and complete, and you're here. And we heard a little bit about this organization when Richard Buckley was with us. We're going to hear more about that with Rick, as he's going to share his experiences and this whole concept of being a chaplain in a business. That might, some of you might be hearing this for the very first time. I agree with Rick. We've all heard about chaplains in jails, prisons, sport teams, things like that. But business? Well, that's what we're going to find out about. Don't go away. Rick is my guest, Rick Tirado, and I'll be back in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you're on The Shepherd. Listen, we all know in business nowadays, one of the hardest things to get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, right? Trying to get content, good content at that, always struggling with your phone, never understanding the settings, and then when you finally post the picture or video, it looks terrible. Well, I'm about to let you in on a little secret in how to make this problem simply go away. I'm talking about Boundless Drone Services. Let me tell you, Boundless Drone Services takes away all the stress. Brian and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Or maybe you'd like to do what we did at Mark Radio and have them highlight the wonderful team that you have working for you. At Boundless Drone Services, they really can do it all. Contact them today at 407-601-2438 or go directly to their website at boundlessdroneservices.com to see how they can help you take your business to the next level in marketing. It's a true honor to have Rick Tirado here today. Rick is representing a company that now he is with called Corporate Chaplains of America. And Rick has a real heart for God. His testimony is just amazing, seeing the change not only in him, but his mom and especially his dad, who had been really not living anything close to what would be a Christian life. But God radically saved his dad and his mom, and they went on to serve the Lord until they are now with the Lord. And that is something really precious. I know that you've just got to shake your head and go, well, I love stories like that one. Rick was a pastor himself, as we've mentioned, and found out about this company that offers chaplaincy to businesses. Now, that in itself sometimes might, to some people, might seem not only different, but impossible. So how does it work?
So how it works is, first of all, the owner begins with the owner or the person that makes the financial decisions in the company sets a meeting. We have someone go and they explain to them. They have a one-on-one and offer how it works, explains to them all the details, answer all the questions. But then when things are finalized, then I come in, then I come, the day is, it comes when I'm showing up at the company and I do what is called rounds. So I'll visit the company, mm-hmm. wherever it's at. It could be in the field, it could be in the offices or wherever it is. And I then do what they call rounds, one to two hours of rounds. I meet with people. I just greet, say, hi, how you doing? You know, don't disrupt what they're doing, their work thing. But there's always a moment where someone will stop and they want to either ask for prayer or something with the permission of the owners and everything. I then come alongside and I pray or I just answer a question or just they need some, we can make an appointment at the break time or something so we can sit down and talk or even after work, you know, they can call me and we set up at a time. We can meet at the coffee shop or something. People are just, they go to the work, but they bring their cares to work. So what do they do with those cares or those struggles? Life happens. So who do they talk to? Mm-hmm. Well, that's where we come in. They can talk to me. Everything's confidential. Everything is permission based. And everything is just personal. And I just come there just to be Jesus at that moment.
Now, you know, we're living in a day, and I don't need to tell you this. You're in the corporate world every day of your life. Mm-hmm. We're living in a day when maybe more than ever before, those that are believers mm-hmm. are kind of even being ostracized mm-hmm. and mocked and ridiculed by people yes. that are not believers and in the workplace. I think a lot of people, when they hear this, they would say, the concept of being a chaplain in a business place, you know, how does that work? Does that mean that the owner is necessarily always a believer? Mm-hmm. How would you answer that?
Not necessarily. Some owners are not totally believers, but
they use Chaplain of America.
They use Chaplains yeah. of America. Yeah. They just love their employees. They love their care. They want to care for their employees, just like they have a benefit package of medical health care or something where they can find counseling for drug abuse or whatever the case may be, or habits. They also want to care for the individual mm-hmm. and says, you know what? If you have go through a divorce, if you go through a loss of a loved one, if you go through a financial hardship, or if you're going through physical health issues, there is someone here that will be available for you 24/7, 365 days of the week, where the owner or the HR person doesn't have to worry about. We go in there and I step in and care for that person.
So do you ever have situations where certain employees who really are bugged? I mean, we have these organizations out there in the secular world mm-hmm. where they just don't want to see anything at all about God mm-hmm. anywhere in their life. And, right. you know, not even on a bumper sticker in front of them. I mean, there's that kind of animosity. So how do you work around that?
You know, amazing how those many times what happens is that they'll seem that way. But when you're in a crisis, you don't care. Mm-hmm. You just need help.
So
you need a lifeline. You need that. So you just need help. You're not asking if are you a follower of Jesus, not a follower of Jesus. Are you whatever? Yeah. No, forget the titles. I just need someone to talk to right now and help. You know,
that goes along with that old saying that says there are no atheists in foxholes.
There you go.
That's right. Yes. And I don't care who you are. If you're in trouble, if you've just lost a loved one, if you're going through marital difficulties, mm-hmm. If your child has just mm-hmm. overdosed,
yes.
I mean, you know, any one or any combination of these things mm-hmm. are everyone's experience at some point in time, mm-hmm. whether they're a believer or not. The Bible talks about the rain falling on the just and the unjust. Right. So it's all of us. We all mm-hmm. find that. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the second question that I would have, what you've already now answered, the one about cynicism or maybe mm-hmm. even objections by mm-hmm. certain employees. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's an implied by the owner, an implied permission mm-hmm. that you have to kind of make these rounds yeah. and to talk to the people.
Exactly. the owners give us permission to do that. And it's, again, it's all permission based. I love the fact that we can just, and our mission is this: building caring relationships with the hope of gaining their permission to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ in a non-threatening manner. So, you know, we're not there to bump by Bibles over the heads or to just preach or whatever. We're here to love on people and care for people. Now, in times of, as you build those relationships, of course, conversations do come up. Questions mm-hmm. do come up. Why this and why that and why that? Well, good. Then the Bible has answers. We can go to the scriptures and find answers and we can just talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
If they give me permission to do so.
Now, do you ask everyone that you talk with for permission to talk to them?
Yes. Well, I ask, in the fact that if they are intrigued about something, they're asking, says, do you give me permission to talk more about this? We can talk about it. And it says, yes, then let's go. Let's talk about it, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's, and you find out, I think the best evangelism is asking questions. You know, I want to hear what's in your heart. What do you have to say about it? Because I want to know where you're at. See, people are in different. Some have no clue about God. Some have some idea about God because of their upbringing or whatever case may be, their background. Or some are really in love. I mean, they really know about God and they want to know more about God. So I want to know where they're at. So, but best way is to be a good, I always say, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. Listen more and speak less.
You know, you just took away what I was getting ready to say. That is beautiful because that's exactly the track that I'm going. I was getting ready to say, it would seem to me that you have to be a good listener.
Yes, yes.
And really asking God, not only a good listener in practice, mm-hmm. but a good listener from the standpoint of also listening to the voice of the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit as he's directing you mm-hmm. about people. And so there's got to be this, I know you don't carry a sign around your neck mm-hmm. that says, hey, I'm here to talk to you. If you're having a bad day today, you don't mm-hmm. do that. But there's got to be some sort of, I guess you could say, openness about you. You have this ability, I would call it a grace, that when people are around you, mm-hmm. they feel comfortable to open up to you.
Yes. Yeah, it's the presence of the Lord. You know, and just walking into a place, I pray in my car, even before I walk into the place, I say, Lord, may you be the one to walk into this location. It was not Rick. It's not about me. It's all about you.
Mm-hmm.
Let your presence make the difference in someone's life today. You know, reach them wherever they're at, Lord.
Do you ever have any idea, like when you go out to one of your places where you serve and you're making these rounds, do you ever get any advance notice of things going on, or is it always spontaneous?
I may get a notice from a foreman or someone that will text me and says, you know what, so-and-so is going through something. It would be nice if you can just approach him today because they know, but they don't want to, and it's good because I don't want them to tell me. I want the person to tell me, to speak to me and share whatever's going on with them, you know? So confidentiality is very important, what they say, because it's going to stay with me. I tell them everything stays confidential unless you're going to do harm to yourself or do harm to somebody else. Then, of course, I need to say something. But whatever you speak to me, it stays with me, mm-hmm. you know, and I take it to my closet in prayer and pray for you, you know.
That's really great. Have you ever had people just be downright rude to you?
Oh, absolutely. Walk away or don't want to talk to me, you know, or if they see me coming, they'll go the other way. That's okay. That's fine. But it's about consistency. I keep showing up every week. I keep doing my rounds. And sooner or later, something, a hi, a greeting will happen. And that's a good start. And from there on, a conversation and who knows what, you know. But I know that the Lord is working in all things. And every person is valuable. And every person, God has a purpose in their life.
Now, you mentioned getting to share the gospel, mm-hmm. That the Lord opens doors for you to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. How often does that happen to where you're actually able to pray a salvation prayer with somebody?
It's happened many times. This past year, I can count at least 14 times that's how people receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. On the dock, in the coffee room, down in the, because I serve Southeastern or Estes, or out in the, you know, the trucking stops areas, you know, it's amazing how, I mean, God just makes that available and that possibility. You know, corporate chaplains has been in existence for 25 years, and we've had more than 46,000 people come to Christ In 45 different states of the United States, we have chaplains everywhere serving at this time, and people are coming to the Lord every single day.
That's just wonderful. And, you know, we all know that a person who's already a believer from time to time mm-hmm. really can benefit from having someone there to just agree with, to pray yes. with, and maybe even sometimes to talk to. And that's what you get to do as well.
And you know, another thing, Mike, what's so beautiful is that the owners, every month, they get a report of what we have done on their premise, on the workplace, how we have cared for their people, what are the needs that are rising up. So they can see at least, even though we don't mention names, but they can see the numbers, if it's anxiety, people going through stress, going through mm-hmm. hardships, going through sickness, going through, you know, financial issues, whatever the case may be. They get a report every month of what is happening in their company, in their with the people, and so that helps them gauge. Okay, maybe because we also offer maybe workshops or something that we can do to help. You know, if it's finances, maybe people need a class on budgeting. You know, and their finances. So we come in, we could do a class on that for their people, offer that for the people as well.
So they open up then a meeting yeah. room, mm-hmm. and you're able to go in and actually conduct a seminar.
Absolutely.
In that place.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is it safe to say that a lot of the business owners would tell you that they wouldn't have known some of the problems that their employees were going through if it had not been for
they
you?
They would not have had a clue. You know, they because I know business owners, they have a lot on their mind, a lot on their plates. You know, their schedule is loaded and they're dealing with so many people, you know, in a company, they say of 200 or 50 or so they have a lot on their plate, but that's where we come in. We can help them. It's about caring for your people, loving on your people, coming alongside them and helping them to get to the other side of whatever it is that their struggles are to help them reach their destiny.
What do you like now about this form of ministry that maybe would be different from what you experienced as a pastor?
So as a church, as a pastor, I would always wait for the people to bring people to church, right? To preach the gospel. And, you know, that's pretty much how it happens. But in this situation, I get to go. It's like I feel like I'm a missionary in the marketplace. I go to the mission field where the people are at.
Okay.
And love on people and talk with them, build relationships. And I meet people from all walks of life, you know? So it's amazing. For me, it's humongous. It's huge. I thank God for this every day.
Now, you know, there's got to be like a major benefit that you have being bilingual mm-hmm. because you're not separated from what is a large right. population right. factor here in Central right. Florida right. who speak Spanish.
So that's a big door that has opened because especially in Central Florida, you know, we have so many Hispanics. So I serve a few companies like one in Haines City. Predominantly, that company is all Hispanics. So I walk in there and you got people from South America, Central America, Mexico. And right away, you see them smile because it says, okay, someone can speak to me in my language, you know, and I can understand what they're saying. So right away, the walls come down, you know, and I'm able to connect right away with them. So it's been a blessing, you know. Mm-hmm. And in Central Florida, I mean, some of the trucking industries, it's huge amount of Hispanics that are truck drivers, you know, right now in Central Florida. So I get to, again, these companies, I get to minister to their employees and I can speak to them in their native language.
Now, I know that this thing of love goes mm-hmm. both directions. Mm-hmm. They not only love you, but then there must be in your own heart a growing love for some of the people that you get to minister to.
Yeah, absolutely. There's such an intimacy that happens spiritually with this person. You know, I get to hear their story. I get to know where they're at. They invite me to their celebrations mm-hmm. of birthdays or weddings, or they want me to perform the wedding ceremony or the presentation, dedication of their child. So I become part of their family in the good times as well as in the hardships times where I can do their funerals as well, because we are yeah. ordained ministers as chaplains. We are ordained. We get to go visit them, either people in the hospital and the jail or wherever the case may be, or even walk with them if they have to present as a witness in a court, you know, as a positive witness for that employee or that person that just needs someone to walk with them.
It's like having congregations in yes. every one of those places where
yes.
you go.
Yes, exactly. So right now, I serve at least 650 to 700 employees. That's pretty much my congregation mm. that I serve.
And that's a big church.
That's a big church. That's a mega church.
That's right. Oh, so are you enjoying it being back in Central Florida then?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Back with the humidity.
Oh, yes. There you go. We get plenty of that and those nice afternoon showers and thunderstorms with lots of lightning. So Amen. It's all free part. That is great. Mm-hmm. Rick Tirado is my guest today. Rick, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, there's my, I could give you my cell phone number right now. It's 407-967-6147. Okay.
Now that's the direct line.
That's my direct line. I'm giving you my direct line.
I see an web address for chaplain.org.
Chaplain.org. If you want to see more information about what the chaplain says, there's a few testimonies on that website as well, where you can see here some of the owners' testimonies of how they, like, for instance, co-consolidated or Aflac or other testimonies from Southeastern Freight Lines, different industries.
Oh, you can actually see business names there.
Business names are there, yeah. And owners and how they've benefited by having chaplains on their workplace, on the, in their company, you know, and they'll share some stories of what, how that's transpired. Also, I have an email at rtirado, R-T as in Tom, I-R-A-D-O, as David O, at chaplain.org, is you can also write to me, and I could definitely would love to connect with you and whoever we can continue sharing the good news.
It's been great to visit with you today, Rick. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
And this is just fascinating to learn more about this organization. I guarantee you, a lot of our listeners would have probably thought, there is no such thing like this. How could there be? But there is, and it's really a wonderful thing. So God bless you, and God bless Corporate Chaplains of America, my guest Rick Tirado, and we'll be back in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. Hey, we all know in business that one of the hardest things to really get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, but I'm here to tell you a little secret that will make the problem simply go away. Boundless Drone Services. They take away all the stress. Brian Fay and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Boundless Drone Services. Contact them today. BoundlessDroneServices.com. Back again here on Afternoons with Mike, and I've got for this segment a guest in the studio that is the daughter
of one of the guests that I had on just a while back.
David Hill. Dave Hill is the leader of Iron Men for God, and his daughter, Bree, is in the studio with us today. God bless you for coming in. Thank you, Bree.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, it's great to have you, and I understand you got to listen to your dad's interview, right?
I did. Yes, I listened to it. I think it aired on Wednesday. I can't really remember, but I listened with my whole family, and he did such a great job explaining everything, his testimony and like how he started Iron Man of God. Super proud of him.
Well, we're all proud of him, and he did a great job and thankful for this ministry. You know, in a day like today, men need to be men of God. I mean, that's just said as simply as I know how to make it. We all need to be followers. And your dad is a great example to me of somebody with faith, not only for himself, which I think it begins with that. Because if you don't have that, you can't lead your own family. And chiefly, he needs to be leading his own family, which obviously he has done a great job.
Yes.
And that's why you're here. But beyond that, to be an influence to other people, I know you, that makes you very proud.
Oh, it does for sure. Yeah, I'm so glad that he's able to influence so many men, young and older, to be more of an example of a follower of Christ, a real Christian. I think it's great.
So tell me about yourself. How did you come to know the Lord in this intimate way of really knowing him, not just knowing about him, because we've all heard the adage, you can't go to heaven on the shirt tail of your parents. You've got, it needs to be your own thing. What happened in your own heart?
Yeah. So obviously I did grow up in a Christian family. I was about 5 when I accepted Jesus. My parents really did help me, guide me through that. But I feel like my faith really became my own when I was older, as many Christians come to know. I was about like a senior in high school, where I just had some, just a little bit of trials in my life that caused me to be like, God, like I really need God. And he's like my full satisfaction and my full joy. So that's kind of how I came to know him more personally, by depending on him more.
What do you look back at that time frame as being maybe one of the most important moments that, in your words, he became more personal to you, more real to you, your savior at that point? What was the real turn?
I think that he began stirring in my heart around like junior year of high school, during the summer, of just being like, hey, Bree, like, there's more for you. There's, you don't have to be sad. You don't have to be like depending on other things to fill you up. And so I'm like, okay, like, what does that look like, God? And it was a process for me to really see him more. And like, I began reading books, like this one book that really helped, besides the Bible, that helped change kind of my mindset, was called Authentic Beauty by Leslie Ludy. And it was so relatable of what she was saying about how to have a more personal relationship with Christ as a woman. And just little things that she said, I really grabbed onto. I was like, I think this way, and here's a way to kind of get out of that and change, renew your mind, and in a godly way, and become closer to God. And that really helped me and just made me like more joyful in general. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's really great to talk to a young person like yourself with such zeal for the Lord and a real passion. But at the same time, I wonder what it is in your heart when you look around and see your peers. And so many of them are just the antithesis of what you are, in terms of they're not confident, they're not joyful. What do you see through your eyes?
Yeah, well, I am still in the process of, you know, learning more of who I am in Christ. Like, I feel like we're always going to be on that journey. And there's days that I feel not confident, and there's days I have doubts and fears. Like, I don't always feel joyful, you know what I mean? But I think God gave me with like a really sensitive heart that I'm able to feel with other people of what they're going through. And I feel like I'll always relate with that, and knowing that, like, yeah.
That's a great answer. So what are you studying right now?
So I will be studying public relations and marketing at Palm Beach Atlantic University.
Now, we should say that Palm Beach is one of our, we just love them. They're good people. Joe Sharp, who leads Palm Beach Atlantic Orlando, such a friend to the Shepherd, and we're grateful for him. What made you choose Palm Beach as your college?
Oh, great question. So I decided to take 2 years to finish and start my AA at Lake Sumter State College, a community college in Claremont. Because after high school, I feel like I wasn't completely ready to just take off and be like, okay, I'm going to go out of state or whatever. I just kind of wanted to save a little bit of money and spend more time with my family as much as I could before I kind of just went out about my life. I think that was a really smart decision on my end. I feel more prepared now to go to college now, basically, with other peers, and just like go away from home and be more independent.
You know, having lived in Gainesville for a long time, I can tell you that there's a lot of people who didn't consider that and maybe wish they would have, because of the fact that they maybe even had a scholarship and they move away to a college. And while they get there, the just the sights, the sounds, the being enamored, the party lifestyle with many, it's caused many kids to kind of like lose their academic standings and really crashed and burned. But It's really great to see a young person who said, you know, I think there's some wisdom to staying with mom and dad a little longer.
Yeah. A lot of people just kind of down community college, but I'm like, it's a good thing. It saves you money. It kind of develops you more as a person, I feel like, because I wasn't as confident then than I am more now. Like, I feel ready to go out into the world, into college. Whereas if I just went straight out of high school, I feel like I would have still been developing myself, but, you know, had to grow by myself, which is totally fine. But I liked being able to stay home and develop myself there too.
Now, you said that one of your potential jobs could be like an event planner or whatever.
Yes.
What about that makes that exciting to you?
I love coordinating things. I love planning things. And like, it brings me a joy to gather a lot of people together and just be the person behind being like, hey, I did this thing, and people are really happy at an event. I also like marketing. I like being the face behind someone who created a little bit of a brand. I just like things like that.
Mm-hmm. And so are you wanting to stay in Florida?
I think so. I'm, as you can probably tell, I'm a very family person. So I think I want to stay in Florida. Yeah.
That's great. And, you know, you think about all the different types of jobs in Orlando and in Central Florida. There are many places where a person that wanted to be an event coordinator can be coordinating events. We've got some of the biggest convention centers in the entire world right here in Central Florida.
Yeah, we do for sure. Yeah, I'm excited. There's this one called, I think it's Hello, which is like a big event coordinating company. So that's just one of many, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you look back at your academic background, what is it that was the most fun part of, let's say, high school for you? What would it have been?
Academically or?
Mm-hmm, your studies.
My favorite subject was probably English because it came a little bit easier to me. I liked English.
Not a math person.
Oh, math is not my friend.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I was a math guy. So.
Yo, you were?
Yeah, oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
Still do.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I wish I was like that. But.
A musician?
No, unfortunately, no.
You see, those two things go together a lot of times because so much of music is math. So I wonder if there's a tie in there.
Maybe, probably.
What were your loves for leisure and all of that when you were high school?
Oh, well, I was in a dance program. I did do dance. I did it at TFA, the First Academy, this thing called Sapphires. And then at Foundation Academy, I went there for 10th grade through my senior year. Love Foundation. I did dance for like 1 year, but from there I just kind of, you know, reading, just like movies, just, you know, typical things like that, and music.
That's
like
great.
Listening. Yeah.
That's really great to have a young person that can dance. That's not what I was ever able to do. I'm thinking right now, my wife is probably home listening to this and laughing out loud when she, because, and it really is a sad sight. If anyone wants to ever have a good laugh, let's watch Mike dance. That's
Mike dance.
That's great. So when you make this transition, you're going to be going in more or less as a junior.
Yes, sir.
And then you'll have like a couple of years to study, and then you'll be launching out and getting a job and all of that. That's just awesome. Who are your biggest cheerleaders?
I would say my parents, number one, for sure. I also think that, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Real Estate Collection. It's a real estate company in Winter Garden. I interned from them, and they are just the best.
I have heard of that, yeah.
Yeah, they're the best team. I think they're also cheerleaders for me to succeed academically and in my career life. So really happy about them, too, and just my friends, too. I'm sure they're happy and excited for my career as well.
No doubt the role that a young person like yourself has in a youth group really kind of be a big help to you as well, right? And I understand you went on a missions trip.
I did, yeah. I went to Guatemala and Guatemala City. I went there two times, actually. I went there my freshman year of high school and then my sophomore year of high school. I went to this place called Prince of Peace. It's a safe home for girls. I believe there was about 50 girls there, ages from like 4 to 18. Even younger, I think, but it was such a great experience. I got to go with my whole family and a church group, connected with Mosaic Church. It was just so great. We got to serve the girls and just kind of be there with them and comfort them and just get to know some of their stories. They mostly all spoke Spanish, but I think, you know, love is a universal language. So we just got to, you know, hug on them and things like that. And I thought that was really great. And I really felt God's presence in that whole camp there.
You know, I've talked to so many people and I've been on so many myself. Missions trips really do change the people going as much as we would ever hope to bring change to the people that to whom we go. So you sounds like you were really affected by this mission experience.
Yes, it was great. It just brought me a lot of gratitude when I got back home. Like, we have so many things here that I wouldn't think about. Like, there's running water. Like, I don't know. I just think that there's so many things we like every day just take for granted, like turning on a light, having a meal every like three times a day. I just think little things are so important to think about that we have that we should be grateful for.
For young people that might be listening that would, or maybe even we've got some parents of young people that might be hearing this, hearing you, what advice do you have for young girls like yourself, maybe 5 years, you're a junior now? What advice would you have to them about staying the course in their heart and in their faith?
Oh, man. Yeah. So I would tell, I guess, girls in junior year high school, just lean on God. I think as younger girls, I feel like there's a lot of mixed messages coming at us, like, oh my goodness, you're only pretty if guys like you, or you're only valuable if you have a lot of friends. But I think that if we just kind of sit down and be like, who am I really? And like, the number one thing is you're God's child. So I think just telling yourself that, and just knowing that the only thing in the world that's ever going to satisfy your heart is knowing who God is and knowing who he has called you to be and who he calls you as you are. I think that is so important.
That's well said. Bree Hill is my guest. And before you go, I know you're about ready to make a big transition. When will this transition to Palm Beach down in West Palm Beach, when will that happen?
Yeah, that will happen. My move-in date is August 17th.
Oh, so. It's right around the corner.
Yes,
next
sir.
Month.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it is that time. Are you excited?
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah, I'm beyond excited.
There are good people down there.
Yes.
Had a chance to meet a couple of them, including Deborah Schwinn, who I'm sure you're going to be meeting when you get down there. So we wish you the very best, and that hope that transition is all that you're hoping it will be, and the homesickness will be low.
Yes, thank you so much.
It's great to have you here. My guest today in the studio is Bree Hill, and we are so happy to have her, the daughter of Dave Hill, who is the leader of Iron Men for God. And that's about it for us. We'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike on The Shepherd.